This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hello, friends. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. Thanks for joining us for Newsmakers on your noon hour, where we are every single weekday to talk about all things Salem, Kaiser, Marion County, Polk County, things in our region. If you're listening to us, you know more than the average bear. Thanks
for
joining us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. I'm excited today, again, most days, because it's a glorious day to live in the Mid-Willamette Valley. And we have Chuck Bennett here, mayor of Salem.
And the sun's out.
And it's the sun's out. Maybe that's affecting my mood today.
It's so, pretty good place to be.
And I've been trying to purposely ignore all the stuff coming off the news about the Mueller report and Trump and blah, blah, blah. Oh. They're going to hash that thing for the next 48 hours straight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll try to ignore that and talk about saying things in Salem. Mayor,
something
welcome.
That actually affects your life.
Right.
Exactly. That's what I want to know. It's like how many Americans polled. It's like how many people think that the Mueller report or who is the attorney general matters in your life right now? Versus what your city council is doing.
Right.
Versus what your county commissioners are doing and things like that. What your teachers are doing.
Depends on what you're watching on cable right now,
right.
I think. Yeah.
It's almost, it's just the theater of the absurd and getting into the whole celebrity of the masses, and politicians are celebrities now and so forth. Anyway, let's not talk about that.
Okay.
Let's talk about the city. It's been a while since we've had you on. I'm sorry, we had some schedule conflicts and then you had some mayoral duties, but it's great that you can come in on a Thursday.
Yeah. I really appreciated the opportunity.
And as Dave was saying earlier and has reporting in the news, the city council is talking about some revenue increasing opportunities to raise revenue.
What a nice way to put that.
Right. How much money are we talking about raising?
Well, between 7 and 8 million.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, it's a long-term shortfall that is developing. And what it is quite simply, costs are going up. The city's revenue profile does not go up in the same way. The ability to collect taxes, I think the prime example, the one that always drives it home to me, is our property taxes collectively that we all pay in the city of Salem do not cover the cost of police and fire.
Mm-hmm.
And the result of that is we have a big chunk of police and fire mm-hmm. not covered, parks.
Library.
Library, planning. I mean, you can go through the whole list of city services that go on, homelessness activities. These are not covered by property tax. And I think people think there is a lot of money coming in from that source. And it is our largest revenue source, but it doesn't meet the needs if we're going to positively respond to the community's demands for fire service, police service, dealing with homeless issues as they develop, or try even to catch up with homeless issues as they've developed over the past decade, and continue to provide a high-quality library, continue to have parks that are available, additional facilities in them for kids to play, keep our ball fields going and have those kinds of activities, have youth programs. I mean, the list kind of goes on and on of the different kinds of programs that are demanded and requested by the residents of the city. We can't meet that without additional revenue at this point. So you cut. You do one or the other.
Right.
You add revenue or you cut programs.
In the past, were there levies that have been proposed and passed to cover some of that? No?
We haven't done an operating levy here. And the reason is operating levies are done against property taxes. And we have been for a number of years, and then this just gets real arcane, and I don't want to go there, too far, but it's called compression. And when you get into compression, you actually start losing money. You collect a little bit. You're levying a lot more, but collecting a lot less because fewer properties are paying it. It's an odd way our system works. Measure 5 and 50 that created the cap on property taxes have some built-in problems in terms of just management of them. And, you know, I think for all of us, it is a worthwhile trade-off. The trade-off, though, when you hit a point like the one we're in, is you've got to start looking at different kinds of revenue sources.
Other than property tax.
Other than property taxes. So this was done 15 or 20 years ago by the city. The only one that could be agreed to, and it was put to a vote of the people, was an increase in the transient occupancy tax. And that's the tax people pay on their hotel bill. Everybody runs into it. You've seen it.
Yeah, the hotel tax.
The hotel tax, yeah. And that went up to help pay for historic homes that the city owns, historic properties the city owns, plus parks, and then travel-related activities like Travel Salem that encourage tourists to come here. As well as the kinds of events people see at our parks. You know, if you like the car show that occurs down at Riverfront Park, that gets so-called TOT money, transient occupancy tax, hotel motel tax money, movies in the park. There's a whole batch of activities in town that really make it kind of fun to be here, particularly during the summer when you get out into the parks. A lot of those get those kind of taxes.
So some of our cultural treasures will get grant funds out of that, like the Elsinore Theater, Bush Park, Bush Barn, those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Deepwood Estate.
Yeah.
Some of these things that attract visitors and then they
World
help
Beat
to maintain
Festival
them.
Gets funds, the Willamette Heritage Center. There's quite a list. The Children's Museum down at Riverfront Park, the Gilbert Children's Museum. So that's the only one that has been raised, and it was raised by a vote of the people in a charter amendment.
Going back prior to even you being a counselor, there was a proposal for a parks levy.
There was a parks
that failed. It did
it's a
not
parks
pass.
Bond,
really?
I think.
Was it a bond?
It was either a bond or a levy. You're right. Was it a levy, do you think?
I think it was a levy, and so that they would have their own revenue stream, right? So just to do parks infrastructure improvement and operations and maintenance and so forth. And then there was a library district proposal where, you know, you have a school district, of course, an urban renewal district. So we're going to draw a line around this, and then people who live in this will pay to the library district.
People said no.
So I would say just because the library's in my neighborhood, why should I have to pay more? I could see that.
Yeah. No, people did say that. Yeah.
Well, it would have increased
unless
services.
You believe you ought to have a library in your community.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
They don't read. They don't know how to read. No, I'm not suggesting that with you. I'm not.
Most of it's online.
Well, most of it is available online,
Right.
But we've had a tradition of a strong library in this community, and there was an attempt at that point, but it really has been years ago. This time, they looked at a whole batch of different possibilities, including like a city income tax and got pop tax, meal tax, I mean, a whole bunch of different things. And what they've come up with, this revenue committee, which included representatives from the community in all areas, business, a couple members of the council, including me.
Homebuilders.
Homebuilders were there, just a real range of folks involved. And they came up with really three proposals. One was a gasoline tax, which the city manager says we would rather not have you proceed with that. So that's really come off the table.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah. Well,
the state's already increased their tax on that.
Yeah.
And it's still not going to the roads.
Another discussion.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's a whole different discussion.
A whole other day. Yeah. I got it.
Okay. And then they came up with another one, which is a payroll tax paid by employees. So it's
of what,
very, though? Very on your income.
Everybody in the city?
Everybody who works in the city.
Doing work in the city of Salem boundaries.
So what it is targeted at, I think, is a lot of it is towards state workers. We have 10,000-15,000 mm-hmm. state workers who come into the city every day. And now the argument is, whether you agree with this or not is a whole different story, but the argument is they rely on city services here, whether, you know, of all types, and they should help pay for them. That's the concept.
Because they're not paying sales tax, they're not paying property tax.
They're not paying a meals tax, they're not generally paying a hotel tax. So, and it the percentage they were looking at there were a couple of different ideas. But at about 0.25%, so it'd be a couple cents per hundred. These are fairly small taxes because they're really broad-based.
Right.
And that would be paid by the employee, and that would go into the system, and it would raise almost $5 million. Okay?
Annually?
And how much are you looking for it to raise?
Eight.
Well, that's not too bad.
All right, we've got more proposals. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back with Mayor Chuck Bennett here on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery. Warren Franklin will actually be out there tomorrow broadcasting live from 10 to noon at Hamblin's Nursery.
Terrific. And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We've got Mayor Chuck Bennett here in the studio with us. We're talking about revenue proposals, revenue increasing proposals facing the city council coming up and a potential income tax. They like to call it payroll tax, so they don't have to say income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Payroll tax, but being borne by the employees who are working within the city limits.
And now before anyone just quits their job to go to work in Mount Angel,
right?
So they don't have to pay this. That one, I don't think that's the one that's moving forward. And that's just my political judgment listening to the discussion. I don't think that's where it's headed. The one I'd like to describe is really the one I think will go in front of the council.
Okay.
And it'll be in front of the council, I think, in the next several weeks or so to really talk about. And that is a fee on utility bills. And it isn't on like how much water you use or how much sewer you put out or how much electricity or any of that kind of stuff. This is just a straight up fee per household. And the way they measure a household is you've got a meter for water. It's not on, like people like say it's on your water bill. It's just using that as the vehicle to charge house. It's kind of a household per household fee in town. Mm-hmm. And what they're looking at is one on the various kinds of meters that are out there that are for underwater. So you have residential, you know, your home,
right?
Your house, multifamily units of various sizes, and they have slightly different amounts. Irrigators would pay a certain amount because you can identify them. That's really what it's about. You can just identify them. They could under this proposal. Small commercial can be identified under this system. Commercial, industrial, institutional, and public buildings can be identified. And it's not a tax. It's just a straight flat fee. Okay.
For the money that would go to general fund.
Yeah, it would go to the general fund. It would go to pay for those services you tend to think of. Police, fire, library.
Parks.
How much is this fee?
The fee would be...
For like a home.
A home would be under the proposal I'm looking at here, which I think is the most likely. It'd be about $136 a year.
Okay.
Yeah, about $10 a month. $10, $11 a month.
You might as well just call it a processing fee.
And the same would be for single, sort of single small unit multifamily. As the multifamilies get larger, the fee goes up. And then for commercial industrial, it's $900 annual fee.
Wow.
So that's about what you're looking at. Commercial pays at about the same, well, plays at the same rate as a single family home. But when you look at, there's a grid I'm looking at of all the different permutations of it. And
so multifamily
adds up to
though,
about $8.2 million.
Oh, wow. Nice. Wow, that's a lot of money, though.
Yeah, it's right
but,
on.
But multifamily, that would be like an apartment
house. Apartment house, yeah. Yeah, and they need to have there's some ways of identifying how many units, even mm-hmm. if they have a single meter. If it's a single meter per unit, they just pay that flat fee of $136. This one, I think, is the most likely to move ahead. And it's one that the council can enact without a vote of the people. My advice to the city council has been steadily, if you're going to raise anybody's taxes on anything, and you can call it a fee, but let's just agree you're reaching in to somebody's britches and taking their money.
Yeah, pretty much.
And if you're going to do that, I think you ought to ask them first.
Oh, right?
Yeah, or somebody's going to slap your hand. And that has happened. This has been done. It was done here in Kaiser. They did two of these for about $8, one for public safety and one, I think, for parks or something else. But they raised $8 with this approach without a vote of the people, just the city council passed it. But they and nobody objected. So, you know, and Kaiser's a fairly conservative community, but there was no objection. There might have been some where people said, what the heck?
Right.
But they didn't refer it. They didn't come in and do anything. They did this in Almsville, okay? The city council enacted this. A majority of the city council was recalled within months. I mean, they were out. And I think that that's the kind of chance you take, a political chance with it. The other thing, I think if you don't take it to a vote, you aren't explaining to people that it's either needed or let them decide if it's not needed.
Right.
There will be cuts in the city budget, and they're not going to be like we're going to cut all the cops or we're going to cut all of, you know, that sort of concept of a threat. It's just there'll be a lot of trimming that'll have to go on in order to get the program back in balance, and we will go to our core programs. And I've seen scenarios where anything we do in our homeless situation disappears. That is not a core purpose of the city government. That is not what city government does.
That's mostly the county, right?
Thank you.
Well, or anybody.
We need to say that over and over again, honestly. When people call city councilors or mayors and this and that, it's not the role of a municipality to solve the nation's homeless problem.
Yeah.
Right? The city doesn't even have a social services department.
No, that's
so
county.
Go to the right place.
County.
Yeah.
County, it's
and difficult. Feds. And they do quite a bit. I had breakfast with the county commissioners this morning and mentioned this. And they made a real strong case that they're doing a lot, particularly with mental health programs. They provide a lot of the mental health programs in the state, a lot of the addiction programs in the area. So anyway, but I still believe that if we're going to move forward with either a fee or a tax or anything else, that should be taken to the voters and have the kind of discussion I think you should have. Now, whether the council would agree with me, I don't know. I really don't.
Well, that's the question. What are the odds that they actually do refer it to the voters? They seem to be politically bent that we're going to do the right thing, and that involves us raising revenue.
Well, I think they're pretty committed. I don't think anyone wants to cut programs that we have. We're not a real big, fat government here. This is pretty lean, mean city government. We don't have anything close to national figures on the amount of police officers you should have per 1,000 people. our firefighters do, and the police here do such a fantastic job with the resources they have. Our firefighters, we just opened a fire station in West Salem. So we have two fire stations for that entire side of town. We opened it, and that's part of the cause of our shortfall is we had closed it during the recession. We came back out of the recession. We have reopened it, but we just can't. Ultimately, we can't afford it over time. We were able to afford it last year and probably this year, but boy, next year it starts to eat into the budget. Because remember, our costs are climbing. Mm-hmm. We have to pay PERS. We have to pay health care. We have to pay just our fixed costs go up. So that's the kind of stuff we're dealing with. And I think if we get out and do our job, which is explain to folks why this is important, they'll return, I think, a verdict on it that we certainly can operate in, whether it's yes or no. It just is, you know, look, you guys, this is our capacity to support the government that you give us.
You know, it's an interesting perspective because some people get angry when there's something on the ballot about raising revenue. Oh, their government, I want to take more money. Their different perspective is just as the mayor was saying here. By the way, you're listening to Newsmakers on KYKN, and this is Mayor Chuck Bennett with us of the city of Salem. Is, you know, the mayor and the council are going to say to the community, to keep these services, we need this. Do you want to pay for it? Do you not want to pay for it? There's nothing wrong to me. There's nothing wrong with the government asking the question, especially if it goes to the people.
Right.
Well, but we all need to live with what our friends and neighbors and other citizens vote. So if they vote to raise, you know, my fees, then I have to live with it. But I really don't mind it being in my ballot box. I'd rather be in the ballot box than have an administrative or an executive or a governor or somebody just saying, we're going to take money from you. So anyway, that's a little different perspective.
At least you get a chance to voice your opinion, your vote.
Well, the other thing, I was talking to the manager about it this morning. The other thing, there's always the strategy of, well, we'll call it a public safety fee. Well, that suggests that if you don't vote for this, we're going to cut your police or fire services. Nobody's going to do that. So why fake it? You know, I think sometimes government makes it sound like we're going to cut the most important thing we do for you in order to get this fee. I think we have to be honest. This is about homelessness, a library, parks, police, PERS, health care, not the sexiest stuff on earth. It isn't police, fire, water, sewer. This is kind of part of the fabric, and we kind of thin the soup a little bit is what, not even a little bit. I mean, you start talking $8 million, pretty substantial thinning. But people need to understand that there will be a thinning of the activities. There, you might lose youth activities. You might lose park mowings. You might lose, you know, and the list kind of goes on. So I think it's important. We have to be honest. But I really don't like it where people set up, you know, where government sets up the, boy, if you don't vote for this, we're going to really make your life miserable. Well, we're not going to do that.
Would that be the PR department?
Yeah, we're not going to make your life miserable. You may think it's miserable because of where the decisions come for the cuts, but it will be done, I think, in the best interests of trying to make sure that we keep those core services like police, fire, water, sewer, hopefully the library and parks, as whole as possible. And we'll be out talking about it. The council hasn't voted.
That's good.
There'll be a public hearing, I hope. I think the council, I'm going to be urging the council strongly to put this to a vote. I can't see any other way to go ahead on this and really be true to what the people expect.
Do you think there's a possibility of maybe cutting some of the frivolous services that you might provide?
We don't have frivolous services.
Okay.
No, you'd have to describe what service is frivolous for you, and then I'm going to let you talk to the person who thinks it's the most important thing we do.
Maybe not mow the parks every other day.
Or
every other week.
I don't know if we do that even.
Okay. We do have
a couple that get mowed really regularly. Yeah. Riverfront Park gets mowed regularly.
Everybody sees that.
Yeah, and part of it is it gets heavy use, but
sure.
You know, those are the kind of things that I think we'd make a decision about.
Yeah, well, yeah. Instead of
I hear what you're saying.
Instead of needing $8 million, maybe you could get away with $6 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one last question before we let you go,
yeah.
Mayor. If we go through this process, when would we start to see these fees being collected?
That's a good question.
2020.
Next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it will take at least a year to get to it.
At least it's not
retroactive. And then identify, set up the infrastructure to collect it. I think they're really looking at probably the 2020 budget for initial collections, reaching some sort of full effect. I mean, this kind of stuff, you want to get it right, but you got to, it sometimes takes time to get it right. So I'd say 2020, 2021.
So the payroll tax would raise in totality, they think, about $5 to $6 million?
Yeah, which means we'd have to do something else along with it to reach that $7 to $8 million target.
And this fee one would cover?
Cover it.
It would cover it. Okay. Yep. I'm leaning toward that one.
Okay. Well, good.
We're not going to give
you
a vote.
We need to.
I want my vote on that, though.
All right. Well, Mayor, thank you for being here.
You bet.
We could have you the whole hour, but I know your time is precious. So we'll just talk about you after you leave. How about that?
Well, you can. Yeah. I'm not sure. You don't want to have this thing tank into the weeds.
Anyway, we want to thank Mayor Chuck Bennett, the mayor of City of Salem, for coming and joining us. And Newsmakers, the place to be to learn what's going on in your community. So stick with us. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about these revenue increases and what it might mean and how those numbers flesh out on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and our friends at Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. Thanks for joining us today. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. I'm laughing because Dave and I are having this whole discussion about how many different ways a city describes how they're going to take money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And thanks to Mayor Chuck Bennett for joining us this hour. You know, this is important. You know, we already talked about the public safety levy earlier this week with the sheriff and County Commissioner Craig Pope in Polk County. You know, I confess I lean towards supporting taxes that go to public safety.
Absolutely.
I see.
They're needed.
Direct. And actually, one of the taxes I hate the least is a gasoline tax because
it's
I'm
supposed
going
to
on
go
the,
to
roads,
the roads.
And I dang well want good roads and so
good
forth.
Good roads.
Yeah. Good roads.
There should be.
So anyway.
For the amount of money.
Things that go
getting.
Directly to things I think are the most critical aspects of government, and that is public safety and infrastructure. All right. City of Salem, I don't think the mayor used this word, but the lines between where the costs are going and where revenues are going are divergent. So over time, it's going to grow. How much more? So the question for hopefully the voters who's going to be in this community, do we want to pay more into the municipal government and have the services we have today? Or are we not? So, and then of course there's a healthy mistrust of government and government spending.
Whew, yeah.
And that plays into it as well. All right. Two fees though that they were discussing. Let's talk about the numbers a little bit.
Okay.
All right. So one was an employee, I want to call it a payroll tax. They call it a payroll tax, like they're taxing something other than your income. It's going to show up on your pay stub, folks.
Yeah, it's one, out of your pay.
Maybe a quarter, a 0.2 or 0.25 of 1%. All right, so if you're math challenged, you make $50,000, that's about $125 a year or $10 a month. Okay, you make $50,000 a year, it's about $10 a month. That would come out of your paycheck. If you make $100,000 a year in the city of Salem, it's about $21 a month.
So he was saying that payroll tax wouldn't cover the amount of money that they're talking about.
Correct.
Now, mind you, how is that possible?
Because it would grow, it would gain into city coffers, you know, $5 to $6 million a year, depending on, you know, payrolls and wage increases and things like that.
Okay.
But they're trying to fix the divergent gap of like $8 or $9 million. So it's not going to cover the entire gap, but it might buy in some years, or it might, in combination, if they pass that in combination with some potential targeted cuts, you know, it's just different ways to get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like anybody who owns a business, then there's two ways to make more money. You either bring more money in or less money goes out.
Right.
And a lot of times in government, they don't look at the second part.
No.
And that is that's why there's Republicans screaming, we have a spending problem. It's why Republicans locally, nationally, everywhere are saying, cut the budget. Mind you, they don't vote to do so. I've been heartily disappointed with a lot of Republican congresses that continue to spend because they're in power and they want to. Oh, it drives me crazy. I don't think there's a fiscal conservative in Washington, D.C., truly.
Right.
Don't spend it if you don't have it. Okay.
Most households live that way.
All right, back to the city. So $100,000 of income, $21 a month, $50,000 of income, about $10 a month. So, and it's taxed. And I totally get this because there is an undercurrent of resentment for the state government workers who commute down I-5, clogging up the road, and then park in Salem, causing all this parking management issues in Capitol Mall and surrounding it neighborhoods, including downtown core and all the surrounding neighbors and what have you, and then making money and leaving. And they're not shopping here, but you know, this is, I'm not casting aspersions, but this is definitely an undercurrent.
How big a soapbox do you need?
It's not mine. Yeah, honestly, it's not mine, but
is this moment.
I don't.
Okay.
I'm saying it's
fact.
But the perspective is there. The perspective is there that they feel like they're not supporting local restaurants and shops. And they're not shopping in Salem. They're not paying property tax in Salem. And this is, you know, one of the most creative ways I've seen where people who are coming into town and making money in town, driving on city roads and so on and so forth, and protected by city police and fire, who get paid nothing because they live in some community north.
More south or east or west.
And so they would get a, you know, 0.2, 0.25 of a percent, and it's taxed on their income from having the privilege of working in Salem.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, there's so many dead ends when you try to get money from the state machine.
Yeah.
You know, the flip side, I'll give you the flip side. A lot of people, including people who represent people at the Capitol, will say, hey, you know, yeah, but we are an economic driving engine anyway. You have citizens that are working full-time for the state, and they have these full-time jobs, and so we're very much a part of contributing, and we pay payroll taxes and blah, 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 but we provide this employment base is their argument.
Mm-hmm.
Home Depot Distribution Center provides an employment base, but they're also paying property taxes.
Yeah, right.
They're also contributing to fire and police and what have you. All right, so there's that. And it was an issue, honestly, with the transit tax. That was a huge community battle just a few years back, is that governments didn't have to pay. It all was borne upon the backs of small business.
Yeah.
Really. So there's so many exemptions. You know, nonprofits were exempt, and I beg your pardon, no, the hospital was going to have $1 million a year they had to contribute, but the state government, not a dollar.
That's wrong.
Right? Yeah, it was wrong. Yeah. And it was a big community battle about how we're going to support and expand transit districts. And fortunately, the advocacy of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, who said it's just not fair.
Right.
There's only a finite number of small and medium-sized businesses, and you're thrusting the support of the transit district on the backs of them.
Mm-hmm.
And say, well, you employ people, therefore you're our target. That it just didn't seem right.
No.
Anyway, so that got beaten down. And this now is going to be borne by the employee.
Right.
The second one.
After the break.
Oh, after the break. The second one we'll talk about break and how that breaks down for you. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Dutch man.
Yeah, baby.
I think we'll be talking about this a lot between now and the end of the legislative session.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
All Holy the time. Cow.
We should make that the show's theme song, I think. Holy cow. Hey, welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, recapping, of course, what we're talking about with Mayor Chuck Bennett earlier this hour, and revenue increase possibilities coming out of the city council. It will be fascinating to see if they refer to the voters. Honestly, I don't think they'll trust the voters to give them the revenue. I will be pleasantly surprised if they refer to the voters. Anyway, the other...
I would be too, actually.
Yeah, there's like a household fee. The reason why it goes on the utility fee is because everybody is already getting a bill. They already have an account number.
Mm-hmm.
They've already been identified when the mayor was saying, well, we know them. We know what they are because, well, they have a meter for an industrial use. They have a meter for a single family house use. So they're already classified and they're already have an account number and they already have a way of billing them. So it would be a lot more administration. You have to create a process and a collection to do the income tax.
Mm.
So that's, I think, should be part of the discussion. If it would be if I were a city councilor. Just the fee. It is appealing that they don't have to add to administration,
yeah,
further aiding the problem of supporting the government, because now you have a department or a part of a department that's has to administer this.
They're already collecting your money.
All right, $136 a year per single family, larger if you are industrial use, commercial use, potentially. All right, he said 10, but it's $11.33 per square
foot. That makes a difference,
per single family household, $11.33. And here's my question on it. Let's say you're a multifamily owner. Can you pass, or a renter, right? Can a landlord, or you own rentals, I should say, can the landlord pass it on to the tenant? Say, oh, I own, 16 units. I own 30 units. I own 50 units of multifamily housing. And then they charge them this $900 fee.
You know they're going to pass it on to your rent.
Well, that's the question. Can they legally do it,
yes,
mid-lease? Because they're all in leases. You can't just change somebody's lease.
Well, the next time they renew it,
Certainly they're going to take into effect every time they have a turnover or every time there's a lease renewal.
Yep.
But if a new tax comes in, are they going to allow them to say, your rent is $850 a month plus another $4 and blah, 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 or whatever for this new tax?
I think they'd add it on later when they renewed.
It's like how you were talking about during the break. And how when you really look, folks, and Dave Bourne is going to encourage you all to whip out
your water bill. Yeah.
And I know in Salem, this happened. We split out. It used to be, until just a few years ago, there was water. And then there was sewer and storm drain were kind of lumped together.
Mm-hmm.
And they were bifurcated. They like to use that word.
Nice.
They're bifurcated into two. So you're paying a different amount for the storm water. And the reason is so they can adjust those rates separately than the sewer rates, depending on what the infrastructure needs are.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, the stormwater, the water that doesn't actually get to your house or to your faucet, it comes down from the sky, God provides it, but
yeah,
you do have to pay them. You do get a value of that water, not just collecting in the valley. It goes, it goes through a storm drain system that our fellows, we've all collectively paid for.
So my gutter water goes down the drain, mm-hmm, out to the street, and now they're charging me for the stormwater that's on the street.
No, it's the stormwater that's under the street.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying.
I do.
They're charging you for the street drains.
All right. A couple other things about things I heard the mayor talk about. I've got to give him kudos because he said, be honest. He's basically saying, hey, government. And he's right there. He's one of nine votes. He's like, you got to be honest. Don't call this something to...
It's not a safety levy. It's not a safety fee. It's not any of that.
Drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate that because I've been listening to the state government, and this has been going on, through a couple of recessions in the first decade of this century. That was always, we're going to release prisoners from prison.
Right.
We're going to increase class sizes. We're going to fire teachers. That's all it was all about.
Grandma's going to be out in the snow. Yeah. Remember that one?
No, I don't. Oh. Grandma's going to be out in the snow, and there'll be a felon that was just open. We just opened the doors in prison and let all them all out because we can't afford it because you're not giving us enough money. That kind of political tantruming and that kind of, you know, threat and fear tactics is contributes a healthy distrust to government.
Yeah.
I don't believe what you're saying, and I resent what you're saying, and I don't want you to represent me anymore. And I don't want to vote yes. Because I'm not going to give you that money on a scare tactic. That's just, ugh.
They can't make me feel bad.
Really unpalatable. So that's why I really appreciate what Chuck Bennett was saying.
So maybe the city's turning a corner?
Well, I'm not characterizing the city. I'm characterizing the state.
That's different.
The state was always, you know, we're not.
State's always that way.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's the
city's going different.
Political operatives. That's the thing about the city government. It's. We know that there are Republicans and Democrats and libertarians sitting there, but they're nonpartisan seats. They're dealing with a lot more pragmatic, less partisan type of things.
Right.
You know, face it, it's pretty rudimentary. Where water comes from, where water goes, basic parks and public safety. It's kind of, and there's not a lot of that whole two-party system kind of backfire. But you get the state legislature. And there's political consultants, and they want to know how we're going to spin this. How are we going to sell it? How is that stupid voting populace? How are we going to make it appear to that stupid voting populace that they need to do this? And we're going to use these scare tactics. We're going to use these threat tactics. And you're going to have 40 people in a classroom and all these things. And probably 40 people in a classroom being taught by felons. That we let out of jail early, right?
That's a great selling point. Wow.
And going back, you know, 10 years ago, like I said, we did have a couple of recessions, and the city has pared down and some services that it used to offer. They used to offer a lot more things in community services, and they're gone. Mm-hmm. We have basically no aqua, no pool services. I mean, City of Dallas has a beautiful Marine Center, and we have nothing here. Those went by the wayside in the recessions and the cuts.
That's nice.
They
drive
used to
Dallas.
Have sports programs, after school programs, whole soccer and other sports, and they're all gone. And fortunately, lo and behold, society stepped up, and nonprofits,
private sector
took up and said, "Well, hey, we'll play with the kids." Mm-hmm. And so they're, I don't know. But those things were cut. There were, you know, serious services that used to be provided that are no longer provided.
But they're not part of what the city should be doing.
Like the mayor said,
yeah.
Show me something you think is folly, and I will bring you the person that thinks it's the most important thing.
Yeah.
So funny.
When nonprofits and private sector can provide it probably better and cheaper, yeah. Not the city's job.
Hey, Dave, we agree on something. I love it. Yeah. So tomorrow we're going to have the volcanoes here, and we're going to have another candidate for the school board. So stick with us tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
This has been Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.